Well, have you enjoyed Grace and Truth from Hiles Anderson? Is it more than have you enjoyed? Give them another hand. Amen. Amen. Appreciate them. And they've been a real blessing. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to John chapter 10. We're going to be all over the place, but you're going to start with this little portion here. John chapter 10. And we got done in good time in the early service, so fear not. John chapter 10, verse number 17, Jesus is speaking. And he says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and power to take it up again. This commandment have received of my Father." I'm going to use this term kind of from our reference. Jesus says, "Dad's proud of me." Dad's proud of me. It's kind of like the same pride that a family has when they see their son come home from boot camp in their uniform. They've kind of gone from a kid to a man. But the fact is, they go and they serve their country. They do a tour over here in this nation or that nation. Tour of duty, and they come back. And the Father says, "That's my son. That's my son." Now, I want you to think about the context here. Can you imagine how much love God must have for us to say, "I'm so proud of my son that he died to save these people"? That's what you said. Some people have a hard time with that scripture. I'm not sure I understand what it's saying. It's because it's saying things that's hard for us to comprehend. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He loves you. You are that valuable to him that he was proud that his son gave his life for you. Let's have a word of prayer here a second. I'm going to speak on the word, the patriot. The patriot. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house here this morning. We praise you for all that you've done for our nation. I thank you so much for all the songs and the honor guard all the soldiers in both past and present that are here. And just thank you so much for the willingness to put their lives on the line, to give up many things of comfort and convenience so that we can enjoy the American dream. But Lord, I want to take a few moments here. Can't help but draw a parallel here, and maybe in these few moments that we will once again experience all that you've done for us and realize the life that you've given by giving your life. So, Father, speak to hearts. Be one here this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Or maybe they're just not sure. Maybe there was they prayed a prayer years ago, but nothing has changed. Well, I don't know what the situation may be, but may today be the day of their salvation. So may your Holy Spirit move, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Patriotism is a phenomenon that's very difficult to understand. I mean, human nature is naturally selfish. We can go to self-preservation mode very quickly over minor issues. Yet, when threats arise, there are those who will also rise to the occasion. Many of our nation's finest have fulfilled their duty and served our country honorably when they were called upon, and we are eternally grateful for their sacrifice. There are also some who were willing to give their lives that others might live. I say that others might live, because not everyone makes good use of the freedoms that were bought by the sacrifice of patriots. You may say, well, those soldiers didn't know me. They had no idea that they were dying for me. That's true, but they died for you nonetheless. In fact, those patriots gave their lives for many they would never know, and who would never know them, and who would never make good use of the costly freedoms. Those patriots died for you so you could have the freedom to choose if you want your freedom. Your freedom was purchased whether you make good use of it or not. What love these patriots must have had for their country. These patriots died for people they've never met. They died for children not yet born, and they died for generations to come. Two phrases of our first song comes to mind. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream. Many of those early patriots, in fact, all along, they're dying for things they would never see, but only dream of. Beautiful for patriot's dream that sees beyond the years. Not only did these patriots love our country and its citizens, but their families must have loved our country as well. Kind of mentioned it there, but have you ever thought of the sacrifice that mothers and fathers and siblings and families have had to make when one goes off to the military? Have you ever been around the families of current soldiers, or even more so, around Gold Star families who've lost their sons or daughters, and they've become fallen heroes? These parents were willing to offer their precious sons and daughters to risk their lives for the sake of the nation, and proud of them as they do so. When my father was young, he told me that, you know, of course, the draft was in force, but certain young men had to go serve whether they wanted to or not, but though many loved and appreciated their country and families enough to serve, but yet, if the family only had one son left, the draft board would also often allow him to stay home with the family so that they would not lose their only son. Old farmers, you know, sometimes the only farmhand they had was the son, and so if they wouldn't take him off the farm because they needed the farm, they needed to grow the food for the war effort as well. And all of these families are the most patriotic. They lost a loved one in the cause of freedom, though many folks will never know, and many who know will never care. And yet all of us will reap the benefit of the sacrifice of these patriots. Can you imagine what goes through the minds of the parents of fallen heroes? Even tomorrow on Memorial Day, there will be many who will take their day off, celebrate family time, and their freedoms, and hardly, if ever, give any thought about those who paid for their freedom to enjoy this life. I can't help but make a parallel between these selfless patriots and another one who gave his life. First thing I want to say is, there was one who also had great love for his people. Jesus Christ is the very embodiment of love. God is love, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus chose to lay down his life for us. I just read it a few moments ago. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I was doing what my Father told me to do. Not only does Jesus love us, but his Father loves us enough to give his Son. I quoted a minute ago, for God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his only begotten Son, his only Son. The draft board would say, well, I don't want to take your only Son left. But God did. He gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In fact, the Father loves his Son for being willing to give his life for us. Secondly, the fact that our Heavenly Father was willing to give his only begotten Son to die so that we might live is proof of the Father's love for us. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son. Let that sink in. He that was spared not his own Son, but delivered him. Delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And there are folks who will say, well, what has God ever done for me? They may say it, but there's many who at least think it. Why should I care about what God has to say? Why should I bother going to church? Why should I listen? What has God ever done for me? Once you're willing to receive Jesus as your Savior, you are the Father's child and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the Father raised up the Son so we could be raised up unto everlasting life. What has the Father done for you? He's given you his only begotten Son. Now the Son died that we might live. But whether we have life is determined whether we are willing to take it. Just as our military heroes died so that we could have freedom, Jesus died so we could have everlasting life and freedom. But many have not taken advantage of the new life and the freedom. Some folks do not know, and I speak that to our shame, the Bible says. There are many who don't know these things. I speak it to our shame. You know what? Why haven't we told some more people? There's going to be thousands of people sitting in pews this morning. And the fact is, you say, well, I don't know if I can do it. Listen, don't you meet anybody at McDonald's? Don't you see anybody at the grocery store? Don't you bump into people here and there? Is there not somebody in your family that you say, well, I don't want to preach to them? Don't need to preach to them. Be a witness of what God has done to you. That's what he says. Go you into all the world. You shall be witnesses unto me. What's a witness do? Tell what they've experienced firsthand. Let them know that Jesus cares. Will there be some who don't want to hear? Sure. But there's some who do. Some have heard of the freedom bought with the blood of our Savior and have received that life and enjoyed the spoils, if you will. The spoils of the battle fought for their souls. And yet some do not rejoice. They don't memorialize the price paid for their freedom. Little gratitude. No regard for the sacrifice of the Son. And they wonder why the Father seems so distant and not seeing the blessing. Thirdly, as thankful as we can be as people, the Savior gladly gave his life. I'm back. I'm going to say that correctly. As unthankful as we can be as a people, the Savior still gladly gave his life. You see, 1 John 4 says this, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the amends for our sins. Verse 19 goes on and says, we love him because he first loved us. You know, it's kind of like that with soldiers. You got the guys in the civilian, you know, they're civilians, and you go, okay, they're okay, okay. And then you got somebody who goes and they serve and they come back and we salute them and so forth. Why? Well, we kind of respect them. We love them because they first loved us. Same thing with Jesus Christ. He died and paid for our sins. And we just go on about it until we realize what he's done. We receive it. Then we love him back because he first loved us. Our Lord laid down his life for undeserving sinners because he loved us so much. The thought of us being separated from him for eternity was so unbearable that he was willing to pay the price of our sins on the cross that we might live. He was more than willing and glad to do it. So grateful recipients of the salvation provided, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Watch, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, Hebrews 12 tells us. Despising the shame is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What joy! The joy of the mocking of the Pharisees. The joy of the soldier's whip. The joy of the nails in the hands. The joy of the crown of thorns that was beat onto his head. The joy of dying on an old rugged cross. The joy of being pierced when he was dead, poured in an old cold tomb. No, the joy was you. You realize that? The joy was you. He looked ahead. He saw you. And he loved you so much that he endured the cross. It says despising the shame. Now we use that word despise. I hate the shame. That's really not what the word means. The word means to disesteem, to even make light of. What about all the pain? What about all the shame? What about all the, they're going to laugh at you and mock. You're going to hang on that cross naked in front of everybody. It looks like you're the one that has all the sin. And yet you were innocent. You're basically taking all the sin of the whole world. And he says, no big deal. I'm more than willing to take that if these people can live. Can you imagine, listen, what a patriot does in the foxhole? Spends night after night after night, ammunition flying over his head, no bathroom, no running water, eating some rations, not trying to be unkind here, but digging a hole to relieve himself in, no bath. meantime, shot at. He says, I'm a soldier. I mean, there's a greater cause. We're working, we're giving ourselves for a greater cause so that others can live and have the freedom they're supposed to have. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curse is every one that hangeth on a tree. Jesus disregarded the shame and the mocking and the weight of our sin on him. And he took the blame and the curse for our transgressions so that we could have life. And the only consolation in his heart for enduring such an affliction was a thought in his heart that we would have eternal life. No greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Fourthly, just as there are many who have been given life to live in freedom in this country and yet refuse to honor it and perpetuate it, there are many who have never accepted eternal life that was freely given by the Savior, though he died for all. Jesus died for all. Now we need to use this life given to us and live it for our Savior. For the love of Christ constraineth us, 2 Corinthians 5 says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Again, I said a patriot is an unusual phenomenon. Do you realize there are some folks that see the difficulties of war, and they say to themselves, I'd never want to do that. And yet there are others who see those who have sacrificed their lives for the sake of our nation, and it stirs something in their heart. They say, I've got to go. They did that for me, and I need to do that for the next generation. The Lord has given us life, and we need to be grateful patriots for those who gave their lives for us. But we ought to be grateful for our Savior who gave his life so that we could have eternal life. Let us not disregard it, but cherish it, live in it, pass it on to those around us for the next generation. Listen, the war is not over. Are you willing to give your life so that others might live? Now I ask you to, and I say it this way, Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How many men have said, I'm going to serve because it's my turn? Somebody served for me so that I could have it. I could live in freedom. Now it's my turn to carry that on. Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins, and we can enjoy it. But are you willing to take your turn? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says in Timothy, 2 Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, God is not asking us to resist unto death, at least not yet. But he does want us to be a living sacrifice. There's a lot of things that we are not willing to give up so that others can have eternal life. A lot of things we don't want to be bothered with. The next time the Lord kind of leads you to say something to somebody and you don't want to be bothered, I want you to think about the soldier in the foxhole. With the ammunition whirling across above his head. And how easy it would be to be able to walk over and take a stand for Jesus Christ and say, let me ask you a question. Amen. If you found yourself outside the gates of heaven and you knocked on the door and they asked you why they should let you in the door, what would you tell them? See, well, how do you start a conversation like that? I don't know. A lot of times I'll say, hey, I got a crazy question for you. Amen. I do. Got a crazy question for you. If you were outside the gates of heaven and you knocked on the door and they asked you why they should let you in the door, what would you tell them? And usually they say, well, I mean, I'm just trying to do the best I can. And then my next question is, well, how do you know that when you've done enough good? And they'll say, well, you never know. And then I can say, well, if I could show you from the Bible how God will guarantee you heaven, amen, would you let me do it? Amen. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, they say yes. Make yourself the sinner. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Let them see the penalty. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Why? Because someone loved you so much that he died for you so that you could have life. Tell them the story. It's not that hard. I'd rather do that than be in the foxhole. God's not, you know, at this point, no, God's not asking us to be in the foxhole to do that. But he is asking you to despise the shame. For the joy that is set before you. When a soldier comes home, you know what he sees? People that he sacrificed for. And the fact is, many of them will say, thank you, appreciate your service. I know they didn't do that when the Vietnam guys came home like they should have, but they're doing it now. But can you imagine coming home, going home from the battle and walking in the gates and having that person that you talk to say, thanks for your service. You freed me from my sin. God bless you, soldier, for letting me have eternal life. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord, we thank you for your love and for your grace.